Good evening and welcome to another exciting episode of It's All Geek to Me. I am Brant, and this is the little green man.
Andrew, as you can tell from the name of our podcast, we're just a couple of geeks that like to geek out about a bunch of things. Some of the things that we like to geek out about include robots, spaceships,
magic, dragons,
and of course root beer.
Every episode we sample a different variety of root beer. This week we are doing Zuberfizz, Durango Soda Company, Inc. Twist this. It's unique.
Definitely. Okay, well, more on that later. So, as you may know, geeks love to dissect and discuss and just generally geek out about a variety of different topics. On this podcast, you can expect us each week to spend about an hour, more or less, geeking at it and just totally diving into a topic that interests us. This week, we are going to be talking about aliens in fiction.
Extraterrestrial aliens, not like ones that came down from Canada.
Oh. So I shouldn't have been listening to the song, I'm a Legal Alien.
Is that Sting?
I think so.
Yeah. No, different kind of alien.
Darn. Had all that time I spent listening to that song. No, just kidding. No. Yeah, so aliens in fiction.
To get the ball rolling, you had a question.
Okay. So what is the appeal of any of aliens in fiction? Or why use aliens in fiction to tell a story?
There's millions of books and movies and video games. Okay, maybe not millions. But yeah, it's not an uncommon topic. I would say the base reason is they are a glass through which to examine humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's kind of like not unlike, you know, when we were doing episodes on robots or things like that. There's not an extraterrestrial alien that isn't the sum of a person or person's imagination. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've never met an extraterrestrial. Okay. that we know of. I mean, maybe Iggy Pop, but
we haven't met him.
I don't think I want to.
Yeah. I think I can live without that.
Also,
I mean, take one of the most quintessential aliens in fiction, Mr. Spock from Star Trek. You watched him because he's only half alien. He is half human, but he struggles with that duality. It is a way for us to examine what does it mean to be human.
Yeah, I mean, he was given this logic mantra. That was his thing. Humans are logic, but this was logic to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons extraterrestrials, they're given a certain aspect of humanity, something we can relate to, but they usually do it to the extreme, or maybe the opposite, or in a way that allows us to compare and contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, the compare and contrast to how we are versus this, obviously, this person or person's imagination as to what this extraterrestrial would be like, you know, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think another reason is they're an unknown, and humans are frightened of what we don't know or understand.
Speaking of which, part of the reason why we're calling this episode Aliens in Fiction is we didn't want it to appear that we were talking about specifically the alien film franchise.
Yeah.
But that is definitely an example of
one of the most famous aliens, of course, the xenomorphs.
Famous,
yeah.
But also one of the scariest.
Yeah. Very Lovecraftian style and terrifying. And definitely this is one as a creature with, you know, very violent instincts.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, so is humans.
Oh, true.
You know.
True. I mean, that's part of the whole kind of concept. These are characters written by, depicted by, and just they come out of the imagination of humans. But in a way, I mean, they are technically all human, but just a way of that humans are looking at different at things differently.
Yeah. Another answer to your question is to quote Arthur C. Clarke, one of his most famous quotes. Two possibilities exist. Either we are alone in the universe or we are not. Both are equally terrifying. So.
Very true. Though, just as a slight tangent, just to, even though this isn't what we're really talking about, scientifically speaking, do I believe that there's aliens out there? Not necessarily that have visited us, but out there. The universe is such a big place. I'd say the possibility is pretty darn close to 100%.
I'm going to have to quote Contact. If they're not, it's a big waste of space.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I personally do believe in extraterrestrial life. Okay. I don't personally believe we've been visited by it, unless you count the theological aspects of visitations from aliens or God or something like that, which I do believe. And, you know, I mean, but that's different.
If you're boiling it down to, you know, people, beings not born on this earth, sure, God is an extraterrestrial.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyways, back on topic, right? Aliens and fiction.
That makes sense. Yeah. But we'll talk more about that later. Yeah. We have an episode planned for one of these. I'd like to do it in October because it seems like in October. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do a what do you believe? Do you believe in ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, that kind of thing? But that'll be a future episode.
Yeah.
So, aliens and fiction. I watched a few Watch Mojo videos, primarily about the ones that they had were scary and then good. But I kind of did it just to kind of broaden my mind.
Okay.
And then I went through our classic Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Doctor Who, Firefly, Supernatural, Marvel, DC, all that, and listed some aliens. So we'll just go through a few of those that I had listed and talk about them. And if you come up with any that you think we need to talk about as well, we'll do that as well.
Now, are we going to do individual aliens or alien species or mishmash?
Both.
Okay. Sounds good.
And there's good, there's bad. It's like I say, it depends on the interpretation or whatever the creator of the alien wanted to have us examine. But
and of course, I mean that's the thing. It's like with humanity. You've got good, you've got bad, you've got neutral. So you should expect the same in fiction.
Yeah. So let's just start with E.T.
Interesting. Going for the extraterrestrial. There's an interesting fascination there. Here's Spielberg in one of his most recognizable, one of his most recognizable films, and exploring the idea of what would happen if an alien came here.
Botanist. Not just any kind of alien. He's a botanist.
But, stumbles into... And of course, the whole kids act interacting with an alien is always an interesting aspect because kids generally are more accepting of the unknown or the bizarre.
Yeah. Furthermore, they don't have an agenda.
True.
They literally just want acceptance. Whereas man has an agenda.
True.
I find it interesting that with E.T., it was the 1 millionth, alien movie made at that point, and instead of calling it anything, they just called it E.T., the extraterrestrial, because what else do you need,
True.
Putting on the nose there.
Well, it's not the first time that Spielberg has been quite on the nose, like Jaws.
Yeah. But Jaws actually was a book.
Yeah. But still. I think my point stands. And he wasn't necessarily your little green man either. There was a certain cuteness about the character.
Yeah.
And once again, here's an example of examining things through that lens. How would we react to it? Would we be scared? Would we be accepting? Would we be on the side of the scientists that wanted to dissect the alien? I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely the difference between childhood and because the childhood has the magic aspect of it.
Yeah.
In contrast to E.T., one of the earlier ones was the Blob.
Oh.
This is a non human or
yeah.
I wouldn't say non-sentient because it's definitely sentient. You ever seen The Blob?
Either
the
not.
Version with, you should watch the one with Steve McQueen. Mm-hmm. I only last year watched the one from 86 or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
Just because I needed 80s horror and I hadn't seen it yet. Good mm-hmm. special effects.
Yeah.
But I liked the plot of the original one to Steve McQueen better.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
That scared the crap out of me growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Mate. I don't know. I don't do the horror as much as you do, so I don't know it doesn't quite appeal to me,
Well, and as an adult, I've rewatched it, and I understand why it's a scary movie, but it doesn't scare me now. It's, you know, especially with the little pop theme song that sounds like something from a Hawaiian kind of, it's a lighthearted jazz number, and it's hilarious.
Now, that does, talking about The Blob, that does bring up an interesting aspect of aliens in fiction. So the majority of the aliens that we know of in fiction are humanoid.
Yeah.
Very rarely do we see aliens that are not.
Yeah.
Obviously that's part, you know, it's, you know, specifically in like movies and stuff like that. But yeah, obviously that has to do with the fact that humans tend to, you know, have to portray the character. And unless you're going with puppets, CG, or what did they used to do The Blob in the original version? Jello? I don't know.
It's just a gelatinous mass. I'm sure it's some form of, you know, I don't even know. I never thought about it that far.
I think that's always interesting. There is a very non-humanoid alien that I do want to get to later on in this podcast or this episode. So continuing on after The Blob, what other aliens did you?
Actually, I have Rocky next.
Rocky. Okay. I think it's hilarious that you knew exactly who I was talking about. So, Rocky. So I re-listened to Project Hail Mary this week because it is a great bit of science fiction. And in this instance, we have an alien that is definitely not a biped. He's a pentaped.
Not the only one I've ever encountered.
Mm-hmm.
I've encountered, there was like an Australian horror film that, or Australian science fiction film that had a pentaped.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea what it was called.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that five is such a random number to do.
There's a five head, there's the skeletal remains of a five-legged creature in the Room of Requirement in book 6 of Harry Potter.
Oh, interesting. Now, there's also the fact that his five appendages, he uses both as feet and hands. He uses them both ways. But I do think, here's kind of a random thought about it. So, because of the fact that he has three digits on each, for lack of a better word, hand, he uses base 6 for you know, his species uses base 6. We use base 10 because we have, you know, on our two hands, we have a total of 10 fingers. But why wouldn't it be base 15? Since between all of his appendages, he had 15 fingers.
Well, speaking as someone whose favorite numbers are 6, 12, and 24, 6 divides into things better than 15 does.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, just a random thought that I had there.
What kind of species is Rocky?
Iridian.
Very good.
But that's basically because we're Earthlings.
Yeah, but it's
because we'd given the name of his star as 40 Iridani. Is that correct? Is that?
I think so. Yeah.
I do like the fact that Rocky is far from human in every way. Does not have eyes. Does not. This is spoilers for Project Hail Mary. I do apologize for anybody that hasn't read it and it already has stuff spoiled for it. But skip ahead if you don't want to have more spoiled from it. But doesn't have eyes, uses sound to communicate, but he's a very lovable, brilliant character that becomes the main character of the novel. They become the best of friends in this novel, and it's brilliant writing. We definitely will in the future do an episode specifically on the writings of Andy Weir, the author of both Project Hail Mary and The Martian.
Yeah. Next up is one of our classic. I mean, one of the most referred to, the Ferengi, the capitalist. Originally meant to be the most terrifying, but they really weren't.
Yeah, they never were compared
to the Xenomorph.
Yeah, it's basically like if you put up a beware of dog sign and your dog is a dachshund, or maybe a basset hound.
Oh, there are things to be worried about with basset hounds. That drool stains, man.
Yeah, and they'll
lick you to death.
They'll lick you to death. Yeah.
Plus, they're stubborn as I'll get out. Are we talking about Ferengi or basset hounds?
we could probably talk about both. But no, the Ferengi, one of the initial descriptions for them, Yankee traders. And once again, here's an instance of evaluating that aspect of humanity through the lens of, and taking it to a bit of an extreme, the greed and such like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we can look at the way humanity apparently was at that point in the 23rd and 24th centuries versus, you know, here's a species that embraced it and didn't get rid of it, but made it worse.
True. And it does explore those aspects of commercialism, of greed, and, you know, how far can you take, you know, your greed and let it control you?
Yeah. I think I don't really want to get into Star Trek specifically, but just at the tip of the iceberg, I think the majority of the recurring alien species on Star Trek take a lot of times a single or maybe a couple of aspects of humanity and examine them fully. I mean, with the Ferengi and the commercialism, the logicism of Vulcans. The inherent honor and violent and violent kind of with Klingons. I would say the espionage like attributes of the Romulans, the terrorist nature of the Cardassians, the religious nature of the Bajorans.
Yeah.
Okay. You take a different aspect of all of these and you examine them very specifically. 'Cause humanity has aspects of all of those things.
Now, one of the things that I think is kind of interesting, but also inherently flawed in some depictions of alien species, is that often they are depicted, for lack of a better term, in a monolithic sense. In that, you take that one aspect, and it's such a defining characteristic that you lose diversity. You look at the human race and you look at the diversity between America and take Japan, for instance.
The culture is completely different.
Yeah.
Driving force. I mean, Tolkien said that what man desires more above all things is power. Is that true across cultures? Possibly. But
yeah, that's the thing, that we are such a diverse race of beings that we do have. I mean, we do have people that don't strive for power. You know, there are certainly people that strive to live a life of honor. There are people that strive to live more of a Ferengi style. But there are people that are driven by the acquisition of wealth, and
it's fun to joke about or to do in a controlled nature, but
yeah, that's the beauty of the human race. We are a very diverse
and science fiction generally, unless I'm mistaken, I don't know of any other alien worlds or alien species where they have more than two different kinds of species. You know, you'll either have one planet that everything is exactly the same on that one planet, or you'll have the conflict between the one side and the other side. It's not like Earth, where we've got mm-hmm. around 200 countries, mm-hmm. thousands of cultures and mm-hmm. religions and yeah. you know.
Well, and the interesting thing in it, there's a bit of pushback from some of the fans. Now it's getting to that point. So the original series, Klingons, they didn't have the makeup, they didn't have the ridges on their foreheads. Next generation, they got the ridges. That actually was in the movie.
Yeah.
Star Trek the motion picture, they got the ridges. And then in Discovery, there was another change to the look of the Klingons. And people were like, "Well, why don't they all look the same?" Well, we don't on this planet.
No.
You know, we have a variety of different genetic makeups to what humanity looks like. So yeah, it would make sense that not everybody on a planet is necessarily going to look exactly the same.
Exactly.
Or even as close to each other as they tend to in science fiction.
Although I personally still like the idea that it was due to tampering with the eugenics of Khan's eugenics that caused mm-hmm. them to not have the ridges for a generation.
Which once again, it still comes out of genetics.
Sure, sure.
Like I say, that is part of what makes us different from each other.
So here's one for you.
Okay.
The Autobots and Decepticons.
Ooh, interesting.
Those are aliens.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that touches on the subject of also robots and AI and such like that. I mean, but they come from another planet.
Even the planet itself is robotic.
True, and they are
sentient.
Sentient. They are species. They do mirror humanity in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And teach us, you know, teach us in ways how to look at life from those other aspects. So, interesting.
Of course, you've got the Borg. Now, the Borg that's kind of a different thing because it's multi-species, multi-different mm-hmm. kind of alien, but they've all got that one thing in common that they've all been dronized or what you know. Yeah, so I personally enjoy the idea that the Borg came from V'ger.
Yeah.
It's an entertaining thing to play with. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the very first alien you ever encountered when you were a kid? Extraterrestrial alien. I know you grew up on Star Wars and Star Trek, so...
Well, and
But did you ever look at those and think those were extraterrestrials?
Well, I know I saw E.T. from a young age, too. I mean, I'm not sure when the concept of a non-human being really formed in my understanding.
Interesting. I'd never thought of it like that before, but I know pretty much exactly when that concept, a non-human being from another planet,
mm-hmm.
because it was one of the things, it was one of the many things that were taught to very small children by the public broadcasting system.
Oh.
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And the Yip Yips.
The Yip Yips.
Oh. I was terrified of the Yip Yips. I still am just a little bit.
Really?
They're not normal. Whereas the puppets mm-hmm. were like this, the Yip Yips were like this. Even talking, the way they were used, the way they opened their mouths was not like a puppet. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Bert and Ernie where, you know, you have an actual jaw line in a mouth that opened and closed.
A humanoid.
They appearance. Were upside down. They were mm-hmm. fluid. Their mm-hmm. eyes were staring. They're scary.
If you say so. Do you remember the Fan X where they
there's actually been a couple of them. They've kind of come up with a couple of times. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the name of an extraterrestrial and see what you can tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
The name is Syo. S-Y-O. I didn't know this either.
I don't know.
The name of the species is Exogorth.
Exogorth?
Also known as a space worm.
I have no idea.
You know it well. It's in Empire Strikes Back. They are a species of giant worms that, honestly, they normally only get to about 10 meters in length unless they never breed and split into multiple versions of themselves if they're just left alone in a cave for billions of years, literally. The one in Empire Strikes Back is supposed to be a billion years old, it's considered young.
Okay, then.
They're sentient. They have thoughts. If you read the comic books, they have thoughts about things.
Okay.
Yeah. And they live on minerals and passing by ships and, yeah.
That's more than, I didn't know that there was that much lore about
they show up in other aspects too. They're not just the one. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Could you imagine if they turned one into a force wielder and wrote that story? Oh, my.
I find it interesting that for the longest time, when people thought of aliens or extraterrestrials, they thought of Martians.
Mm-hmm.
Closest planet. And I think people legitimately thought there might be life there.
Yes.
Know?
Well, I mean, it was the source of a lot of fascination and fiction for a while. Wasn't War of the Worlds Martian?
They were Martian. Yeah. The tripods. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's definitely, because, like you say, it's the closest planet. It's possibly the most Earth-like of the planets in our system.
Yeah. There might be some moons that might be more so, but...
Yeah, that's true. There are some planets, some moons that might be more so. But yeah, Mars definitely was able to capture that fascination. And definitely the fascination of several science fiction writers for a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Ray Bradbury.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he completely changed, you know, there's oxygen on Mars because he needed there to be in order for his stories to work.
Yeah.
How about the Flerken?
The Flerken? Marvel?
Mm-hmm. Goose.
Uh-huh.
Goose is a Flerken.
I forgot. I wouldn't have remembered the name until you said it, but yeah. Because I seem to never be able to remember that.
That's not a human. It's not a mortal cat. It's not an earthling cat. That's a Flerken.
Yeah. Well, and Marvel has some interesting aliens throughout. The scariest cat I've ever seen.
You don't live with one. They're pretty scary all by themselves.
That may be, but we see trees.
Groot.
Groot. But yeah, that Marvel does have... Oh, the symbiotes.
Oh, yeah.
They're always a fascinating bunch.
Yep.
Venom and Carnage and their ilk.
That's pretty scary, too.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens from the film Arrival.
Ooh. Okay.
They can be pretty scary, but it's mainly because of what we don't know about them. And it's not until we actually... learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
I recently rewatched it only for the second time. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those films you need to watch a second time because
I need to.
The reveal about the film,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you watch it a second time knowing. Mm-hmm. I got to watch it with my wife who hadn't seen it yet. And it's a very fascinating. I understand why it was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's totally phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's another example of something that's come up in some of the stuff that I did to prepare for this week's episode. I listened to Project Hail Mary again. I listened to most of A Desolation Called Peace. I haven't finished it yet. But those, as well as Arrival, deal with the aspect of communicating with an alien species whose method of communication is so different from ours that we don't know, you know, we can't just immediately start conversing with them. You know, Star Trek, they have these universal translators. They just always could speak the language of
yes,
more or less.
Except for the species that speaks in memes.
Yes, there is that. Which technically it was translating their language to English. It's just it didn't make sense.
The idea that, okay, how are we going to do this? We got this universal translator. What if it translates it, but they still don't understand because what's being said mm-hmm. means something very different for the person, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the right words. Mm-hmm. What's the significance behind them?
It basically comes down to if I mention Romeo and Juliet, you immediately think of a love story.
Yeah.
If you'd never heard of Romeo and Juliet, those words would mean nothing to you.
Well, it's just like Picard, his head in his hands. Okay,
mm-hmm. That's the meaning.
Lisa standing in front of a blackboard. That's uh-huh. what they were saying, and we know what uh-huh. that means. But here's the thing: imagine Alien Universal Translator goes back in time to 1986. Mm-hmm. Yo, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was good. No, it is.
Yeah.
But you said it was bad. You got the word right.
Uh-huh.
But the meaning behind of it is the exact opposite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and slang is always, you know, that would always, colloquialisms
yeah.
would always be, they don't make sense now.
No, they don't.
If you.
Dude, that band is Fly. It's what?
And even going from one generation to another, it's like...
I have that problem.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah. Or I ran into based. I don't know what that means. What that means. Some things are based. I don't know what that means. I don't think
I want to know. I think we got to that age where we're cool. You know what's cool, though? Cool. Cool has been cool for about 75 years. It'll never not be cool.
True. But yeah, there's also an interesting aspect of communication is the idea that aliens would speak in a similar way to what we understand it as communication. So subject, verb, whatever. Where that sentences are structured in certain ways, that we say things in specific ways.
The same, not all of them are.
Yes, that's Yoda. Yeah, the order of things don't have to be, but there are concepts that there is the possibility that you would tell a story and like the memes.
Yeah,
like the. What is that? What is their race? I can't remember. But the fact that when they say something, it is in such a completely different way from how we communicate. But of course, I think part of it is because of how we are limited, you know, of the limitations of the human race. We tend to think of communicating in similar ways. But I'm certain that if other species existed, there may be species out there that could communicate.
Tamarian.
I believe that other species could communicate in such vastly different structures that we wouldn't even if we could translate it to our language, we still may not understand what they're trying to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to bring something up. Okay. So, Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
This is the day the earth stood still?
Yes.
Klaatu is.
Mm-hmm. But there's also, is that all of them? I can't remember. Those are also alien species on Star Wars.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yes.
At least Barada and Nikto are. I can't remember if Klaatu is. But yeah, George Lucas specifically would, you know, use those as species on
what Star about Wars. The Andorians?
The little...
Teddy bears?
Teddy bears. I mean, I can see why there are some people that don't like them, but
I love them.
Well, of course, as How I Met Your Mother, Barney, on How I Met Your Mother, as he evaluates it, if you were above a certain age when Return of the Jedi came out, you hated the Ewoks. If you were below that age, as we were, you love the Ewoks. I mean, they are definitely appealing to kids. But once again, I love the aspect that they were so trivial in the mind of the Emperor that he didn't see them as a threat.
Same as House Elves and Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That they overlook...
Hobbits. and Sauron.
Yeah.
We could keep going about all these, you know, Pennywise is technically an alien.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You know,
about that.
There's Edgar in the Edgar suit.
In the Edgar suit.
And all the aliens from that particular film, which we could do those movies all by themselves. Yeah.
We definitely could.
Did you ever see Fire in the Sky?
No, just real quick, for those that didn't quite catch that reference, Men in Black, the Edgar suit was from Men in Black.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you ever see Fire in the Sky?
No, I didn't.
You
not.
Should.
Is that an alien abduction one?
Movie? Yeah, based on a true story. Member of the LDS Church, actually.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah, but you know, you got your good aliens, you got bad aliens. Mm-hmm. You've got what Will Smith says in Independence Day. I don't think they flew down here 90 billion light years to come in here and start a fight. Well, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Are they? You know, in this particular case, they were like locusts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then you'd think if you had interstellar travel, you'd have been beyond such trivial things. You know, maybe you'd be out like Starfleet and be exploratory like the mm-hmm. Vulcans were originally. There's all this question. So do you think that trying to contact extraterrestrial intelligent life is a good idea?
I mean, it's hard to say. You know, humanity doesn't have the best history in kind of that regard. I mean, there's plenty of examples in the history of humanity where we came in, or, you know, explorers and colonists and such like that came in and
wiped them out,
the indigenous species, or not. And even in instances where they didn't necessarily wipe them out, they didn't treat them.
No. Yeah.
In appropriate ways.
So what you're saying is, far from us being worried about contacting extraterrestrial life, having them come down and starting a problem with us, we would be the problem to them.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, look at Ender's Game.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a beautiful, beautiful story, because they don't have a way of communicating with the aliens, and all they see is the destruction that they had created. And never once thought to ask, well, why haven't they attacked again? You know, that is a brilliant series. I enjoy that one.
So one final thing I'd like to just note on, mm-hmm. it kind of refers back to the beginning of what we actually had. What do we find aliens so fascinating in looking at humanity through the lens of an alien? I think one of the best examples of that, Nanu, is...
Mork.
I wish all aliens could be like Mork,
mm-hmm.
because he was so innocent and yet so complex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had the ability to draw up just one single emotion and discuss mm-hmm. a situation from that one emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And his observation of humanity throws into sharp contrast how we examine ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think if we all tried to look at each other the way he did,
mm-hmm.
it would be a good thing.
True.
So why do you specifically geek out about aliens, Andrew?
Well, I mean, it comes back to, you know, like you did, kind of, you know, in your sum up there, it does come back to, it is a way to, as I see all art doing, it is a way to examine our own humanity, you know. No matter what alien species that we're looking at, even the xenomorphs from the alien series, they are aspects of the human race. I mean, there are people that are just as vicious of killers as the xenomorphs were.
And one could argue they're not the bad guys. They were perfectly fine doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. It's when we sent in the military and tried to weaponize them.
Mm-hmm.
We were the bad guys.
True. Of course. I mean... Like as mentioned in Interstellar, is the lion evil for eating the gazelle? No, that is an aspect of humanity. Humanity does things for reasons outside of just survival, and it is fascinating to examine those from the point of view of. Not being part of the species.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think one of the reasons I geek out about them is humanity can get boring. I mean, hey, I love reading Pride and Prejudice. I do. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I want the adventure, the excitement, and the mystery of the unknown. And unfortunately, unlike maybe someone born in the 1800s who could be satisfied with a story about India or the jungle or whatnot, I go to outer space. Well, so
there is also the difference. There's no lack of information about our current world. You know, especially in our modern day and age. Heck, I watched a video where a guy just filmed himself driving through the Alps on a highway. You know, that's something I probably will never get to do in person. Mm-hmm. And we get to experience that. So fiction gives us the opportunity to examine things from an outside perspective that,
yeah,
you know, that we can't get, you know. But though you talk about the 1800s, late 1800s had Jules Verne.
That's true.
Yeah. And he definitely went into that. So, of course, that's, you know, why we geek out about aliens. Of course, your listeners, we'd love to hear back from you as to why you enjoy aliens in fiction or any other of the topics that we've discussed on this podcast. Feel free to reach out to us on our Facebook page, It's All Geek to Me Podcast. That's where we're most active. We do also have accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at It's All Geek Pod, all one word, no apostrophe. We can be reached there. Though, like I say, we're not as active there. Yeah, let us know. And also, we'd love to hear any ideas for future episodes. You know, there's a lot of things that we geek out about. Maybe you might have a suggestion that we'd be interested in.
Yeah. So the root beer.
It
was fine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't standout-ish.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. It doesn't stand out.
It wasn't bad in any way. Yeah. It just wasn't, no bells and whistles either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a decent flavor, but not a terrible flavor, but not a great flavor either. Yeah.
And it doesn't really stay with you either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
I think the best thing about it was the bottle.
Yeah. The label has character. I will give it that. And, there was one point where I've had a cough and I've been taking, you know, I've been using Halls to try and keep it down. There was one point that I think my mouth was a little bit numb and I couldn't really even taste the root beer. But yeah, even without that, I don't think that there's that much. Yeah. That much flavor to it.
Yep.
So, and of course, the way with this episode being about aliens, we definitely can't forget the next rule of acquisition.
Now, before we go into this, this next rule of acquisition is rated PG.
Okay.
They're not all usually bad, but listener discretion is advised.
Okay.
Rule of acquisition number 112. Is never have sex with the boss's sister.
Okay.
I think that's just a good idea anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it has had anything to do with profit, it's just a good idea. No.
Mm-hmm.
when conversing about, you know, risque topics and mm-hmm. members of your boss's family, it's not a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, and even, you know, there are plenty of instances in movies and such like that where even taking it like a step further and marrying into the family business can be problematic if the relationship sours. That's problematic as well.
Very much so. So just don't do it. Yeah, yeah. Just good idea.
The business relationships. And romantic relationships should not mix.
Very
bad
much
idea.
So. Bad idea.
Yeah.
So that's that. What, if anything, have you geeked out about this week?
And I did. I actually asked for permission to share this because, you know. But so I was talking with my wife Ania the other day. I can't remember exactly what brought it up. She brought up. She brought up the actor Shudi Gatwa. She mentioned one of his earlier film credits, or his, one of his earlier credits, and then mentioned that he was in Barbie. I'm like, yeah, and he's the new doctor on Doctor Who. And so I showed her the Christmas special.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed that. And we've actually now watched the first three episodes of Eccleston. Oh. And she's enjoying it.
So she's getting into Doctor Who.
Yeah. So
great. So I get another one.
Yeah.
That's all we need is more Whovians in this world.
Mm-hmm. Hey, why not? It's a 60-year-old series that...
It can be a very time-consuming hobby, yes, believe me.
Very, very. So. But, you know, with the three specials and the Christmas special, I'm a bit optimistic about the future of Doctor Who. You know, because it had a bit of a decline, and in recent years. So, but I'm a bit optimistic about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, how about you?
I watched an Oscar Best Picture nominee from the 30s called East Lynne. Found it on YouTube. The version I found, they were able to add back in the missing 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's only one known copy of the film at UCLA, mm-hmm. and you can only watch it by appointment in person. Mm-hmm. And they really need to fix that. You've got this copy. It's not going to last forever. Somebody with money should go in and make a copy, do something with it and save this film.
Properly preserve it.
Yeah. So the fact that this version's on YouTube, that last 10 mm-hmm. minutes is obviously... a version that kind of sort of fell off the back of a truck. But when the alternative is nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are plenty of instances where, the original the original copy or the master copy is in kind of a vault or whatever somewhere. But they do send out copies to theaters and such
that. So. Sure. I just think that something as important as if it won the Academy Award, if it was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture, mm-hmm. it needs to be preserved to the best of it. If I had the money, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Okay? Seriously. But...
Well, though, here's one of the sad things. How many of these movies that were nominated for Best Picture, specifically nominated, not won, has it been that the first time that you've heard of them is looking through the list of nominations?
Yeah, and as much as I've been doing it the last several mm-hmm. years, I copied that whole list mm-hmm. and I put it on my Google Docs and mm-hmm. I go through, and sometimes when I'm in the mood, and this usually happens on the weekend, like Sunday morning or something, I'll mm-hmm. get up and okay, I'm in the mood, let's watch another Best Picture nominee, and I'll get mm-hmm. on there and I'll just scroll through and I'll find something interesting. I might see, okay, is this available on Prime to rent? Is it mm-hmm. something free? Is it on YouTube? Some mm-hmm. of the ones I've watched recently, free on YouTube. Only way I can do mm-hmm. them. That's fair fine. Enough. Sometimes they require purchase. Sometimes mm-hmm. I've talked to you about them, you mm-hmm. know. But as much as I've gone through this list, mm-hmm. I still come across a title that I've never conscientiously mm-hmm. recorded in my mind before.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like I've looked at this list 100 times and I didn't look at those words and associate them with a mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
East Lynne isn't one of them because I knew the history of it having mm-hmm. a missing thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, I, you know, just in general, speaking about film and film history, you know, there's plenty of movies that, even within 5 years, that it basically can fall off the face of the earth. Because there are plenty of times that a movie just... It isn't that memorable, so you never hear about it again.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, we're talking about over 100 years worth of film at this point, and...
They'll have their following. They'll have their mm-hmm. people that do like them, but the general public... Do you remember The Fighter?
Which what year?
2010.
Is that Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was a boxer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember it. 2000, was it that long ago? Wow. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're...
Do you remember Michael Clayton much?
I know that it exists. That's
you know you saw it.
Yeah, I know I saw it.
Okay. What about In the Bedroom?
Yeah, I saw it. Mm-hmm.
right? So if you go back to, like I say, let me go back and I'll see if I can find a word, one of these that I've never looked at it. Here we go. Right here. This is from 1942. This movie's called Wake Island. This is the first time I've conscientiously looked at this Wake Island. No idea.
Yeah.
No clue.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Above it, The Talk of the Town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one above that is called Random Harvest, and I do remember looking that up and couldn't find it right away. But, interesting. Yeah. The Magnificent Ambersons?
That's, that title sounds familiar.
Could be.
That, for some reason, I it does.
Yeah.
I'm not but sure why.
Robert Preston.
Mm-hmm.
MacDonald Carey. America will never... How's this for ironic? America will never forget Wake Island.
Really? Yeah.
Because I don't remember.
It has.
Nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Outstanding Motion Picture. The Marines, being surrounded by Japanese aircraft, caught the Japanese invasion by complete surprise by unleashing a wall of fire that stopped the first attempt by the Japanese to land on the island. Great. Sounds great. I'll check it out. How do I watch this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure why I know the name The Magnificent Ambersons. I'm guessing that it has to do with the fact that it's an Orson Welles movie.
Okay. That could be it.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is not giving me an easily, this is how you watch this film.
Which movie?
Wake Island. Anyway, yeah, we'll look that up later, but yeah. I wouldn't mind checking it out.
Yeah. So, with that tangent right there, that does kind of lead to what we're going to be talking about next week.
Next week. So, the Oscars will be announced this coming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try and watch some Oscar nominees this next weekend, at least one. But, I don't know, depending on what happens, we might watch more. And then, I think it would be a good time to discuss, we kind of had the idea, what goes into the type of movie that gets nominated for Best Picture. What does the Academy look for? Obviously, not to go into too much detail because we'll talk about this next week, but obviously in the last 20, 25 years, doing the festival circuit has played a big role in that. Mm-hmm. There's that argument that always gets, I never saw that. I never heard of that. That wasn't what I thought was the best picture. The Common Joe. And we're not going to get back into that. We've already set our piece on the Common Joe versus the Academy Award film aficionados. But what does it mean to us? Yeah. Why do we geek out about Best Picture winner? Why have I chosen to watch every Academy Award Best Picture winner? Mm-hmm. And nominee. I've already seen all the winners.
Yeah, I'm like 5 short.
Yeah.
I need to work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on it. So that'll be a good idea to get us in the mood for the Oscars. And, yeah.
Yeah.
The root beer.
Yeah, the root beer for next week. We got to die right here.
One. Well, this is appropriate.
Yeah?
I guess, because I can't actually anticipate doing one on Westerns. So we'll go ahead and do the John Wayne root beer.
Okay.
We've had it for a while. It needs to get done.
Yeah. It's one of those, I believe it's another one of those generic root beers and they just slapped something popular on it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm not expecting much out of it. So.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I think that basically wraps up this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next time. I'm going to try and come up with some bingo cards, some It's All Geek to Me podcast bingo cards. Some of the topics on there that we'll list is his mentioning of The Two Indicator, any reference to Friends, any reference to Monty Python, I think makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
This root beer is definitely better than Zevia.
Oh yeah. I mentioned to Zevia. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We mentioned things that happened before or after our LDS missions from time to time. Yeah. I think that would be a good appropriate one.
That'd be appropriate one.
We'll do that.
The two of you indicator, your bingo cards will be in the mail. Expect them within about 4 to 6 weeks.
Don't think I won't try and do that. I can look up addresses in Decatur.
Oh my. Oh my. Just send it to some random address indicator.
Oh, goody. Now I have a goal. All right. Okay. So until next time, I am Brandt.
And I am Andrew.
And geek me to your leader.
Good night, folks.
This has been an episode of It's All Geek to Me with Brandt and Andrew. You can visit us on our Facebook group, It's All Geek to Me Podcast, or on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at It's All Geek Pod. Please feel free to give us feedback, suggestions for future podcast episodes, and just enjoy geeking out.